Good morning, Jess.
Good morning, Adrian.
How are you going?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. It's going to be hotly contested this weekend.
Has it been fun to date?
Yeah, it has. It's been really interesting. You know, we've had about 2 months in this campaign. It feels like political campaigns have been going on all around.
Forever.
The federal election,
yeah.
And the US. But, you know, for this one, we're really kind of fighting for the soul and the ambition of this city. You know, is this going to be a green, creative, progressive, independent city, or is it going to go back to one of the major parties? So, yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, let's get down to business. Why should voters in Sydney return you and Clover Moore and the rest of the team as Lord Mayor of Sydney?
Well, you know, Clover has the most extraordinary track record as being a progressive leader that the whole world looks to for guidance. You know, she's managed to make the city of Sydney the first carbon neutral government in Australia. She's met and exceeded climate change targets and trying to make Sydney more resilient and more sustainable in the face of climate change. And, you know, she's got an impeccable track record as far as supporting nightlife and small bars. She was the person who introduced the legislation that led to the small bar revolution that we've enjoyed in Sydney. She has been a visionary as far as making our streets more livable and accessible when it comes to, you know, making main streets nicer to be in, or bringing cycleways to Sydney so we can feel safe getting around and exploring different kinds of transport. So, you know, I think she's far and away the most progressive candidate and the person who has a vision for a really livable, sustainable, creative city.
Now, you're saying that she supports and your team supports the nightlife and the businesses surrounding that. What about lockout laws? They're a major issue for businesses and people who are commuting in the city to experience the nightlife, you know, bars, restaurants and the such. What's your plan to address these laws and that have proved to be, they have been controversial, haven't they?
Well, absolutely. Well, that's because I think they're not very good laws.
Right.
It doesn't make sense, I think, to have this blanket approach to banning or to shutting down every bar, nightclub, any place in the city. It just doesn't make sense. It's not a nuance, it's not an evidence-based approach. And so the City of Sydney has been doing a lot of research on this for 5 years and released a strategy in 2011 that suggested a different way of approaching, that actually suggested, you know, why don't we have more public transport that's put on by the state government to get people in and out of these places more safely, faster, not around to kind of run into trouble. We want to see a more diverse offering of nightlife options. So, for example, we'd love it if, you know, so-called small bars, and what we mean is independent, interesting, creative spaces, places like Frida's or Arcadia's or Oxford Art Factory, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to see them have the capacity to let more than 60 people into their venues. 120 people is our goal,
right,
for the small bars, people affected by small bars legislation, and for them to be able to stay open until 2 a.m. So that makes life easier for those business owners because they can actually have a more financially viable business. And we want to see more of that. And we're also really interested in the idea of having annual liquor licenses. So let's say a venue isn't performing well and isn't preventing violence or has a bad track record, well, they have the possibility of having their license taken away. So wouldn't it make more sense to manage the venues rather than kind of just stopping people going out altogether? So, we have quite a different approach.
Right. And what about the tragic deaths that have come as a result of violence in the CBD? Aren't they a problem?
Of course. Of course they are.
And you don't think that the current laws sort of prevent that in a way, prevent those sorts of things from happening?
I don't think those current laws have anything to have any relation. The way that they were rolled out and their focus bears no relation to the particular incidents, in my opinion. You know, perhaps the team has a different opinion, but, you know, both of those assaults occurred before 10 p.m. Both of those assaults occurred on streets, not in licensed venues. And both of them, I believe, had a relation to kind of preloading and people drinking, people with violent histories. You know, I think there are, I don't really see how closing every nightlife venue at 1:30 a.m. would have prevented those two tragic deaths.
Right. Okay. Now, you say that you and your team are the most progressive candidates running. Aren't the Greens and Labor more progressive?
No. In this instance, they're really not.
Okay.
Labor, as you would know, at the time the lockout laws came in, Labor supported them.
Right.
Labor were the party that actually brought WestConnex in, which is probably one of the most backward-looking infrastructure projects in Australia at the moment. We can talk about that as well. You know, they supported that. They supported the lockout laws. And the Greens are giving their preferences to Labor. So, on our record, we are far and away the most environmentally sustainable and socially progressive group. I mean, Clover Moore was the first politician in Australia to walk in the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras in 1987. You know, she started fighting against anti-vilification. Oh, she started fighting for anti-vilification laws and introduced them into the New South Wales Parliament in 1994. You know, she was the first person who fought for same-sex couples to be able to adopt children. You know, as a state MP before she was turfed out by the Liberal government, and as a Lord Mayor for the past 12 years, her agenda has been far and away more progressive than Labor or the Greens.
Right. Now, this year there's been a bit of controversy. Businesses are getting the opportunity to vote in the election. How do you feel about this?
Well, Asian businesses have always had the opportunity to vote in the election, and they've always been represented. The difference this year is because of a piece of legislation that was introduced by the New South Wales Liberal Party and the Shooters and Fishers Party. And this legislation allows businesses to have two votes. So
that's what I should have said there. Yeah, two votes, yeah.
We get one vote. A business gets two votes. And not just that. If you're a business owner who lives in the city of Sydney and your business is in the city of Sydney, you get one vote. If you're a business owner who lives outside the city, you get two votes. So, excuse me. So, essentially, we're seeing people who don't live in the city having twice the say as the people who do live in the city and contribute by running a business here as well. So, for us, that's, you know, there's a really quaint, antiquated phrase for this called gerrymandering.
Yes.
And the political parties kind of are expert at doing this. They love redrawing boundaries. They love, you know, kind of changing the rules of the game to advantage themselves. And that's what's happened here. People are, the person who introduced this policy, interestingly, or championed it, was a guy called Edward Mandler. He was part of the Liberal team on the council, and he introduced this with the support, of course, of the state government. And now he's defected from the Liberal team, and now he's got another independent team called the Sydney Matters team. And so, you know, it's just these weird backroom deals that are going on. And I think the people of Sydney deserve a more transparent and a more genuinely independent government, and one that actually supports the arts, supports nightlife, supports music and live music, gives over spaces for this sort of stuff, and also builds the kind of green, beautiful, well-designed infrastructure that we need to have a truly global city.
Now, last night you actually said you want to make Sydney a cultural capital of the world. It's a lovely statement, and I can't help but agree with it, but how are you going to do it?
Well, I think we're pretty much well on the way. My day job over the past 8 years has been directing Vivid Ideas, which is the creative industries component of Vivid Sydney.
Yep.
Through Vivid Ideas, my goal has been to create the South by Southwest of the Asia Pacific. So an annual coming together of creative practitioners, aspirational practitioners, people who interface with the creative industries and the innovation sector, and actually get them to work together, explore the options for the year ahead, look at how they will thrive in a disrupted economy. And every single year, you know, we've had more and more people come to that event and participate. And, you know, we had over 50,000 people participate in that part of Vivid Sydney this year. And so many of the projects I work on are about uncovering this incredible wealth of creative and entrepreneurial spirit that are at work in this city. And I think we need to support what's going on here already and help to showcase it to the world. And the best way to do that is to keep city assets in public hands and to make spaces open and available to creative people. So, for example, we've got a whole bunch, the City of Sydney's got a whole bunch of creative tenancies on William Street, on Oxford Street, actually actively aiding the regeneration of those areas by bringing creative people back into the inner city and supporting them to be able to take risks, to have businesses and startups and, you know, showcases and shops for the work that they produce. So, you know, that's a really key thing that the city does, and it feeds into Sydney's status as a creative capital. And in all the time I spend going to creative events all over the world, we are really well regarded. We might have a bit of a tall poppy or kind of a, we might not recognize it at home. But, you know, wherever I go in the world, I hear Australian music and Sydney music on the radio. You know, I see Australian and Sydney designers on the racks of shops, in clothing shops. I see Australian art in major events and exhibitions, Australian design in major events and exhibitions. So, you know, I don't think we have a right-sized vision of ourselves. We're actually a global city. When people say, you know, New York, London, Paris, Tokyo, Sydney.
Throw Sydney in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. All right, well, Jess, thank you so much for joining us today on The Daily.
Oh, my
and,
pleasure.
And all the best with the election on the weekend.
One last thing, if you could say it, you know, 50% of the people who are eligible to vote in the City of Sydney are under 35.
Right.
This is a situation where, you know, young people are not usually engaged in local government and local politics. It's kind of the forgotten level of government.
Right.
But actually what we do at a city level has a big impact on people's lives, particularly young people's lives. So the main thing I want to do is really encourage people, young people in particular, to get out and vote this Saturday.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, Jess, thanks so much for that.
Thanks, Adrian.